another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 250. It's Monday, June 22nd, 2020. Putting your fingers together like a Chinese finger trap. That looked cool.
There you go. All those thoughts going, someone thought going somewhere bad with that, but it worked out okay.
It worked out okay in the end.
Yeah.
In the end, all that mattered was that your fingers touched. Hey, what's going on?
They actually didn't touch. They didn't touch at all. That was the whole point of the dance.
Do you remember when Lur on Futurama said once he ate a hippie that was all hopped up on pot, and he goes, whoa. My hands can touch anything but themselves. And then he goes, puts them together and goes, oh, wait. And then they push them off the microphone. It's like, get off the mic, Lur. Lur's amazing. It. Anyway, welcome back.
It was a great show.
Watchable even now over and over. I love it. I can't stop listening to it and watching it. But I'll tell you what else is great. This dumb show here that we do called The Boop Show. It's about video games, in particular, the smaller experiences, the indies out there, the little games that don't get all the big AAA attention. That's what we do. It's myself, Scott
They're
Johnson.
They're not a bunch of attention getters.
Nope, that's
They're not
right.
going, look at me.
That's right. Where else are you going to get your Scott and Brian Dunaway fix other than, I guess you get it on Film Sack as well, but you get it here, and then you get it there, and then you come on TMS twice a week. So you get a lot of Dunaway in your life. But here's full Dunaway laid out.
Full frontal Dunaway.
Full frontal Dunaway. It might be today's title. I'll have to write that down. Anyway. Hey, did you see that Mixer news today? Did you happen to catch that and see what that was happening there?
No, I've been working so hard. It's just ridiculous. No, give me what happened.
All right, so here's the quick lowdown. Well, last night, this doesn't really have anything to do with the closure, but last night there was a little bit of uprising. Some people at Mixer were telling some pretty gnarly tales about some stuff going on inside, some sort of nasty culture stuff, a few things like that. That was no good. But then today, right toward the back end of the Apple keynote, WWDC thing they were doing this morning, news broke that Microsoft is shutting down Mixer entirely.
What?
And they're moving, or they're not moving, they're just asking people, hey, if you're looking for a new home, head on over to Facebook Gaming. And that's
it. No, you gotta be kidding me.
Yep, that's it.
Tell me this is lies.
No, it's truth. It's truth, I tell you. Truth. It's coming out of my face.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? That's fine. You know why?
Why?
That just means more love over here at Twitch because those streamers aren't heading to Facebook. That's not their generation. If they were on Mixer to begin with.
They're not going there.
They're not going to Facebook. They'll come back to Twitch. You know, they made Ninja a pretty good deal to head over there with his ninjiness.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be coming back over to Twitch or doing something totally different. He definitely won't be going to Facebook.
If I were him,
here's
what I would do, okay? Because it's already been rumored. Here's the deal. He made about $30 million for this deal with Mixer. $30 million
awesome.
To go stream over there. It's a lot of money.
That's awesome.
Supposedly, this isn't confirmed yet, but what I heard from a source I trust is that Facebook offered double that for him to keep moving on over to Facebook Gaming. So $60 million could have been his. I don't know if that meant total or 60 on top of the 30. Probably 60 total. Another $30 million to go over there. And he and Shroud and others declined. They said, we don't want to go there. Like, F that.
Yes,
that's stupid.
That's actually smart. If I don't know in what ways he received $30 million. I don't know if he actually received $30 million in cash, here you go, or if it was some other way. But with $30 million.
What if it was $30 million in, like, hooker vouchers? What if that was it?
Right. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It could be anything. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, the value of $30 million. I don't know if it was actual cash that he could actually move around that would become liquid. Because, you know, if him and a couple other Mixer people got together, they probably could start another streaming service on their own.
Yeah,
I'm
but
just
do, why
saying,
would you? I don't know if
and
you want to do
the
that. Though
runners and the rulers.
You always think that's a thing. Like it's possible. Like there was a rumor for a while PewDiePie was going to start his own YouTube channel or his YouTube competitor.
Never
happens. They don't want to do that.
Well,
they're not entrepreneurs in that way. They just want to sit in front of a microphone and make fart noises like we do. They don't care.
But so, where's our $30 million?
What they're going to do is probably end up back on channels on Twitch. It'll probably be a really good thing for them business-wise, because suddenly people will freaking flock back to them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they love a controversy. This just creates all sorts of buzz. So they'll be freaking out about following them back to where you belonged in the first place. Part of me is a little sad, because outside of caffeine and what, there may be one or two others that have any real competition for Twitch. It's good for Twitch to have competition. So I'm a little bit bummed to see that end.
It's good for all of us, because the more eyes that are on Twitch, the more subscribers that are on Twitch, the likelier they are to look at our channel as well.
Lone Ranger says it's 30 million in Xbox gift cards. Perfect.
It probably is.
Yep.
I'm kind of interested to know exactly the deal. But what's interesting is that Microsoft is... That's odd.
Not at all, dude. This is the Zune. It's the freaking Windows phone. This is Microsoft 101. They do this all the time. They just drop shit because it's not working out fast enough, so they just drop it. Google does this too. It's like, hey, we got a thing. It's super cool. It's the best in the world. It's called Google Plus, and it's going to beat Facebook. And a couple years later, we tried. It's done. We're out. That's how they do this.
I don't get that. Yeah.
Well, it's because there's nothing at stake. It's just big, huge money out of their endless pockets of money. And so,
but what a great added. Okay, so you know what? I'm not going to complain about this. This is actually going to be good for me, because I never really used Mixer. My home is on Twitch, and I appreciate everything that Twitch has done for me. They've made it easy for me to make a profit where YouTube did not. YouTube never. I never made a dollar off YouTube. Well, I take it back.
And their streaming stuff, they canceled that. I mean, remember when YouTube Gaming was going to be the hot new competition?
Right.
Now that's nothing.
Right.
So,
but what's good for the gamers, though, is finally, instead of getting inundated with all this crap on the Xbox, they're probably going to integrate, hopefully they'll integrate Twitch. I know they'll probably want to do Facebook, too, because obviously they're working on some kind of deal with that. But maybe if they had better integration with Twitch, that would be nice for me.
I hadn't even thought about this being dropped right before a new console launch. When they in theory would leverage Mixer big time for Xbox Series X content.
Yeah.
And now they're not going to. It's done. It's out.
It's weird. I don't know how they're going to be porting that through. You know, it's like that's a really weird thing.
It's a lot to wrap our heads around. It's an interesting transition. We'll see how it goes.
Wow, you work all day at your day job, and then when you get home to do your side hustle,
yep.
All kind of news drops.
All kind of news. And this. Actual video games, which is what we cover here. We don't usually do the news much anyway, but that seems significant today. Worth talking
that
about.
That was huge. I am glad we talked about it.
Yeah. It would have been a much bigger news day for something like Macs are dropping Intel CPUs for their own Apple-based chips. That would have been a bigger story.
God, they're not doing that again, are they?
No, that is happening today. It got announced.
Oh, son of a...
Now, hold on. This is a good thing for...
All right.
This is a good thing compared to what it was before. The last transition from PowerPC to Intel, that kind of sucked.
Right.
Okay. Like, it was okay. We did okay with the universal thing. The translation was all right, but stuff didn't perform the best, blah, blah, blah. It was kind of rocky. In theory, these chips they use now, which are pretty monstrously fast, the ones they'll use on desktop, we should see a smoother transition. In theory. But you got a lot to catch up on. You were at work all day. You missed all this stuff, man.
I got so much to watch tonight. So it's interesting that you say that, because why not? Because the one thing that really could have been fantastic for the Mac is if they had found a way, and I know it opens up a lot of holes, but you know, using the Intel chips and things that they used allowed opportunities to make the Mac be capable of playing video games just like anything else. But they locked their hardware down so hard, and they won't give that information out to developers so that we can really get something there.
Well, it's not even information. So, they just decided, hey, we're never going to put like really beefy GPUs in our boxes, even if they're integrated and they're really hard to upgrade or whatever. That's not even the point. Like the cards are,
they don't want nobody touching the hardware. Right. So I get it. It's one of the reasons why the Macs are so, you know, it's really security minded, because you know they keep a lot of stuff shut down. So I guess it doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter. PC gaming goes on.
The only thing that
it'll be fine.
The only thing that would matter on is if is the cost. I don't know how much it's gonna is it going to increase the prices?
No, it shouldn't. In theory, it should be less because, again, they control the entire supply chain now. So it could be it could be an interesting thing.
Yeah, because that worked out well for iPhones. Those are super cheap.
Well, I mean, in the relative way, they're not going to go. They're not going to go up because of their own homegrown chips. That right. I'm sure of. It doesn't mean suddenly they're going to be cheaper. They're not going to suddenly go, and everything's $500 less than it used to be. It's not going to work like that.
What? How did we get over here?
I don't know. We should be talking
about some video games.
How about this one? Griftlands. Griftlands. Yeah. Now, I mentioned it last week. Oh, why is there volume? There shouldn't be. I mentioned this last week and talked about it a little bit in my sort of secondary little mention there at the end of the show. And I have more to say about it now because I played a ton more. And I'm pretty excited about what I've played. So I'm going to talk about it for a second. What do you know about Griftlands, first of all? What do you know about these guys?
Let me see. If I saw a video of it, I'd probably remember something about it. But just saying Griftlands means nothing to me other than I actually like this name.
Do you like Klee Entertainment or Klee or however they say it?
Oh, Klee. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yes, I like Klee Entertainment. I do. So, okay. I know. I'm there now.
So these guys are famous for making every game they make is good. Even if it's a genre you don't like, it's still a really good version of that. Like, for example, I don't really like Don't Starve. I've talked about this before. I don't like survival games. But
that's because you're a jerk.
It is, by all accounts, a really good survival game. And there's no question about that. They made one of my favorite games of all time, certainly in the last 5 years, which was Invisible Ink, which you can still get. Brand new on the Switch, by the way. Also, it's everywhere else. There's an iPad version. There's PC. All the consoles have it. It's an amazing, amazing turn-based stealth game. Mark of the Ninja is still good and great, and I feel like playing that right now. In fact, I love it so much. They just don't make poopy games. This game showed up on Epic. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it briefly last week. Showed up on Epic about a year ago or a little less.
You mentioned it briefly?
Briefy. I mentioned it briefly. And
all right, I'm putting that down. Briefy. All right, briefy. Go ahead. Continue.
And it was on the Epic Store in early access. And then there was a lot of talk. Yeah, eventually this will be on Steam. We're just doing this for a limited time. Whatever deal makes them money, it's fine with me. I didn't bother. But here's the thing. When it was on Epic, I didn't get it. Partly because I knew it was coming to Steam and I'd kind of prefer it there, but also it was listed as kind of early alpha. They weren't very far along with it. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to be in that early. I don't mind being in early access, but I'd like to be maybe in the same calendar year that you're going to release the thing. Well, that's where we are now. It's on Steam.
You don't want to be in the alpha release.
No. You want to be on the... Oh, listen to these guys talk, by the way. Hold on. I love their gibberish. Hold on. I just found some gibberish. Okay, this person, hold on. This person's goofing around too much. I want to actually hear them talk. Here you go.
This person's messing around.
Here you go. So they're in like this, like Star Wars kind of bar.
Yeah, let's look at that. It's kind of like the cantina, right?
It's a little bit. I mean, it's not.
But
set
it's
in Star
kind of more
Wars,
like a Western feel to it. But it feels like a cantina.
Yeah, it's like Mad Max, Star Wars, a little bit of a few things thrown together to give it this vibe. And you run these grift jobs that are basically just like go shake somebody down for some information, and I'll give you this many. Their currency is called shills. I'll give you some shills, and if you. If you go,
I like this idea.
You go fight this guy, whatever, right? So that's kind of the idea. All right, so it's using their really cool art style. The game itself is now on Steam for $12.74. Totally cheap. Dumb not to get it. It'll go to $20 when they release it for real. So I'd get it now if I were you. This is the latest in a long line of everybody's making deck builder sort of Slay the Spire like games where you fight with cards and stuff. This is one of those.
Why would you fight with cards? Because you mean you fight other people with cards?
You fight other people with cards. You don't fight with the cards. Right. If you fought with the cards, you'd have to get some counseling because you really ought not be doing that. Anyway.
Stupid card!
What makes this game interesting and unique is not only do you have really good card battles, and that's true, but you also have these dynamic stories that get told every time you do a run through the thing. So there's some dialogue, not a ton. The person who's playing it right now is taking way too long reading it.
I was about to say, well, okay, so this is something that I do when I stream.
Yeah.
This person, you're right, is going way too far. But I usually like whenever I'm streaming something, I make sure that I read every dialogue piece. I look at it. I try to read it to make sure that I don't click on anything next. So if anybody's watching mm-hmm. and they're a slow reader,
yeah,
you know, you don't want to screw that up. But yeah, you're right. This is moving along slowly.
It's a little slow, but now we're on the overmap. So again, it's different every time you play, so it's never the same. It's a roguelike in that regard. You go out there, you do your jobs, you do your missions, you pick up missions, you get bonuses, you have random encounters on the way. And if you're fighting, you're fighting with a deck of cards. And it's going to play a lot like you're used to with something like Slay the Spire or, you know, games like that. But one of the most unique things about the game, maybe the most unique, is you also have conversations with cards, or particularly arguments and persuasion type conversations. So if
with cards.
Yes. So if you're talking.
So you do fight the cards.
No. You don't fight the card. You use cards to fight, but you do it with a conversation instead of a fight. So I'll give you an example.
You're not arguing with the cards.
No. Yes. Get that out of your head. No cards are being fought with.
Okay. All right.
You're fighting with the cards in that they are your weapons. You are not fighting the cards as your enemy, the cards.
You have equipped the cards and you are using the cards to battle.
To have a battle, and they can, again, the battle can be a physical one where you're, you know, stabby, stabby, shoot, shooty, or you're having an argument. And the argument is great because you have a whole separate deck for this. And in that deck are cards
a deck of arguments?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. So it's each card isn't an argument, but they all go toward this argument. So the argument might be,
right.
We need you to give up the prisoners, okay? That's what she's saying to some guy. You need to give up the prisoners. Okay, cool. That's my argument. How do I make that argument? And then you make that argument by countering them back and forth. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still kind of about it's not really a health pool, but you have a not resilience. What's the word for when you really stick into your guns?
Your stubbornness, your stick-to-itiveness,
there's a word for
your ethics.
It's something else.
Your
resolve. That's it. Your resolve.
Your resolve. That's a good one.
So you have this, you have a health pool thing that's basically called resolve. It's separate from your regular health pool. And you have these two different health pools. One's resolve, one's actual health. And when you have an argument and you're fighting back and forth with cards, the cards are things like introduce this or intimidate or, make fun of, or, you know, like these different things that do different stuff. Oh yeah. It sounds crazy, but it works.
So you could, that sounds funny. So like you're trying to morally defeat trying to lower the morale to the point that you can grift them. That's the point, right? You're trying to grift them.
Kind of, you're not really grifting them. You just want to win the argument. And sometimes you can choose. It's like, do I want to argue with this guy or want to kill this guy?
Are you trying to win the argument through intimidation and manipulation? Because that would be, even if you're wrong, I mean, you're trying to manipulate someone else into believing what you're saying.
Yeah, you're trying to persuade them.
So you're kind of grifting them.
Yeah.
Right.
You're persuading them.
For a purpose.
And they're trying to do it to you as well. Sometimes they're the ones that need something out of you and you have to, you know, sort of defend yourself. Sometimes you're presented with a choice. You can say, well, do you want to argue with this guy or do you want to fight him? And the reason you would make that decision sometimes is because, ugh, I've only got 15 health points, but I've got a full pool of resolve.
So when this is smart, this is really smart. I like this idea. So, so if you're losing the argument and you're feeling strong that day, HP wise, you can just say, bump this argument.
No.
I'm just going to kick your trash.
Not in the middle of the argument. You have to finish out your argument. Win or lose, you got to finish it.
Oh, but you can lose the argument and then beat him up.
If that's an option. Sometimes you losing the argument is going to send you in a whole different story path. Like you may not, get to.
Brilliant. They have gamified life.
Yeah,
they've gamified conversations.
They did.
That could end in fisticuffs.
Yeah. And the cool thing is you can throw out a card. They're doing it right now in the video. So when you watch this, this person takes so long.
Negotiation tutorial.
When you watch this negotiation tutorial, you'll see how this works. So you'll have kind of that main health pool in the front. See that 30 and 20? Those are kind of like sticking out in those circles in front of you. But behind you, you can plop in cards that will then lodge into your conversation ring. And it'll be things like stubborn, some kind of card that's basically a certain level of stubbornness. And it might have its own health pool of 6 or 7. So there may be a strategy for them to try to take down your stubbornness first, because by destroying your stubbornness, it will actually explode and hurt your main resolve more than if you just hit the resolve.
Like I had no interest in playing this game when we started, and you have convinced me entirely.
It's really cool, dude.
I must play it.
It is maybe it's my favorite of this type, and it may be my favorite indie title of the year so far. It's so good. I love it. I really love it.
It's fun. It satisfies the one thing that Facebook conversations don't have, and that's physical confrontation.
Right. They don't let you actually go face-to-face. And, you know, like the actual arguments are... It's mostly just a dressed up version of a different health pool with different kinds of attacks, but it's done in such a way that it feels like more than that. It doesn't feel like just, oh, this is just another way of fighting. It feels like a very unique way of fighting. Plus, you've reserved, if this was a conflict you decided to have as a fight and you resolve it with an argument, then you still got full health pool for the next really gnarly fight you got to make, which you may not be prepared for. So you want to save your health points for that. But the same thing goes for, you know, some bosses. The boss fight is not a fisticuffs fight. It's an argument fight. And if you lose, you're screwed. You're thrown in jail or, you know, like of all these different outcomes. This lady that you play in this first run through, she's the first character you unlock. Then you get a little ways in and you unlock somebody else. I forgot his name. A dude. I forgot his name. He looks like a pilot from the World War I era thing. Anyway. There's him.
The Red Baron?
And then he kind of does. And then later you unlock this alien with two big googly eyes. And that's the third one. And I think they've got more planned, but right now those are the three. I haven't unlocked the third guy yet, but I'm just enchanted by this game. I think it's the art style and the tone is exactly my jam. It's exactly my kind of setting and world and story and world building. The card combat is as good as it gets as far as I'm concerned. I played a lot of Slay the Spire. This is, I think, better than that.
Right.
It's a now, rad game.
Is it only single player?
It's only single player. There's no multiplayer in it.
Okay. So you can't go online and argue down somebody because that would be also fun.
You may be able to at some point. I don't know that they have that
planned.
Right,
but not what you did.
Yeah. Based on this, no. But most of these games, like Slay the Spire, that doesn't have multiplayer either. It's usually, these things are focused on single player
experiences.
Right,
which is fine. I was just curious that was a factor.
It's really great, though.
It's not a ding against the game. It's just interesting.
It's a very cool thing. And as you go along, you unlock cards, you improve cards. Oh, the other thing I like is instead of just paying money to improve a card at a merchant or something, there's some level of that, too, and you can buy cards at different places. But what I like is the more you use a card, the more it upgrades itself, and eventually you can level that card up to do better things just because you're using it. So it's kind of Skyrim-y that way. You know, the more cards you use, the better off you are. And you have like kind of some factional stuff. Like if you win this argument against somebody, they now may dislike you. And you'll know that by an icon over their head next time you visit them. That may or may not bite you in the butt. You might need them as an ally and they won't help you now because they don't like you. But maybe they like you because you went a different way. You decided to do something else. You can fight people in the fighty fight and not kill them. You can decide to, you know, let them, what's the word? What is it when you decide not to die?
When you decide running?
No. When you let somebody
live. The coward Scott Johnson?
No. When you let somebody live. What is that called? When you let somebody live?
Oh, mercy.
Spare them. Yes. Surrender. Yes. You surrender. Yeah. Surrender's the word. They'll surrender and you can choose.
Think of chat room.
Am I going to kill them or am I going to let them surrender? You can decide.
Right.
And if you let them surrender, sometimes that pays real dividends later because they're going to be an ally or whatever. If you kill them, well, they're dead and you'll never know. And maybe that makes somebody else mad. So there's a lot of like branching stuff that happens based on your decisions, which gives it a much more RPG kind of vibe to it.
Fight dirty.
It's good, dude. It's really good.
It looks good. I'm interested in this now. Like I said, I had no interest because I was like, oh, I don't need another Slay the Spire game. I don't need it. But this angle I like. Now, when you were playing this,
listen to how meaty the fighting is real quick. Just listen to this audio.
Hold on. Go, go, go.
You got to hear this. This is great. I love how meaty the fights are because he's actually doing a fisticuffs here. All right, play your card, dude. Ended. This guy's taking forever to play his card. Play your card! Play your effing card!
Play your card, fool!
There you go. Okay, choose your card. Okay, go ahead. Oh my gosh, this YouTuber. Okay, there we go. Hear that? Oh, meaty, just chunky, chunky combat. Great animation. Yeah. It's just rad. It's so rad.
I like it. Okay, so the conversations.
Yeah.
The topics of these conversations.
Yeah.
Are they random or are they kind of on rails or
no? They're random.
Topics that you engage them is like quest based or is it?
They're random. Your overall story, like who she is and where she ultimately wants to go, that stuff's kind of locked in. But everything in between is never the same every time you run through it. And if you die, it's like a roguelike. You go back with some improvements, but you're starting over. But you don't do the same run again. It's all different every time.
Interesting.
Different NPCs, different jobs they give you, different random encounters while you're out traveling in the world. It just works. It's just a great thing.
Grip lands on Steam or Epic for about $12.75.
$12.75 on Steam. I don't know what the Epic store price is right now, but I should mention, if you already own this on Epic and you were thinking, hey, I want to go over and get it on Steam, will just get your copy. They're not going to charge you.
That's Klee thing, right? That's what they do.
Yeah, they're nice. That's a very nice thing for them to do.
Is Klee the developer and the distributor? Like, are they? Or
yeah,
they
they're their own. They do all of it. They're publisher.
Okay, it's doing all of it. Yeah, publisher.
They always have.
I was trying to look for.
Here we go. Surrender. So he's going to decide. Am I going to kill him or going to let him go? He decides to kill him.
Let him go. Just let's talk for a minute.
Never mind.
Talking's done.
He totally let him go. Weird. I would have killed him.
That's because you're a jerk.
Anyway, go check it out. Again, Griftlands, available on PC, both Steam and Epic. Probably coming somewhere other places after. This would be a great tablet game. Would play great anywhere, console.
Oh, yeah. It's like you have to have too much controller based. You just kind of like drag stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. Like you can even do... Drag. I mean, it would work with controller, but, you know, I don't...
Right. What would be the point?
I think that... Because, you know, they do that with Slay the Spire on Switch has, you know, controller support and all that. Even though you can use the touchscreen, and by all accounts, the controller works better. So wherever it ends up, you will not be disappointed if you at all like games like this. All right, Brian, tell me about Westmark Manor and why we should play it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about Westmark Manor. This is a puzzle horror survival game. You love those survival games.
Sure
do. It's not really necessarily heavy on the survival. But it is. Okay, so you like the H.P. Lovecraft, right?
Sure, he's all right with his scary Cholula face. Not Cholula.
Cthulhu
face.
Cthulhu, yeah.
Cholula. So,
those multidimensional beings that are in those stories. So, so this game is a horror game. It is... What happened?
I said horror.
Survival.
It's a horror
game. This is terrible. It's horror. Mm-hmm. It's not terribly, it's okay. Where was that? Oh, I'm still talking about the occult.
Yep.
What I'm talking about, Scott. Yep. You like the occult?
I do.
H.P. Lovecraft?
Mm-hmm.
Like all that kind of
stuff.
Sure,
why not?
Multidimensional beings? Well, that's what you're doing. You are Westmark, Mr. Westmark. I think his name is Alexander, if I remember correctly. And you've been studying the occult because you're trying to learn how to slow down or stop or reverse time. Because your wife is sick and dying. You never meet the wife, but you hear it in the story. And so one night you're hanging out in your studying as you do. And suddenly things get weird. And you wake back up and you're in your manor because you're a rich guy, right? This is gothic horror. This is what, early 1900s gothic horror. So you was doing your little rich boy studying. And something goes wrong, and you wake up, and you're like, you're sitting over top of some kind of glowing occult symbol, right?
Yeah.
And so you get up, and you realize that you're at your manor, but it's not your manor.
Uh-oh.
It's different. Things have changed. So you got to explore to try to get out of here, because the first thing you do is you walk back into the manor, and you discover that it locks behind you. And when it locks behind you, a number pops up. That number is based on sigils you got to learn. Is that how you say it? Sigil?
Sigils.
I've read it a million
sigils.
Times.
Yeah.
Is it sigil?
Sigil.
Sigil?
Sigil.
Say sigil.
Sigil.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
It's a sigil. So you'll randomly generate a number based on a short test you get at the very beginning of the game. It asks you certain aspects of your personality. And based on that, when you go in, it sets the difficulty level for you, and you have to find a certain amount of sickles to get back out, to get back to home. It's a G sound, says Wabbit Magic Sigil. So, all right, what was I trying to say? So as you go through here, you have a limited amount of light, right? Okay, so you're using your lamp, your lantern, and you have oil in that lantern. And as you go along, you can pick up more oil. If you run out of oil, you start freaking out. You've played those horror games, right?
Sure.
Where your sanity starts. You've only got so much sanity.
Don't like those. Hate those.
Yeah, well, guess what? You'll hate this because you use that a lot. I mean,
great.
You got two bars. You got a stamina bar and your sanity bar. And if that sanity bar goes down too low, you go into some kind of freak out. And you fall, right?
Do you remember that game, Eternal Darkness? No, that had a sanity
now this
thing.
This is Eternal Darkness is a good comparison. This is one of the games that inspired this Westmark Manor by the developer Nod Brim Interactive.
Nod Brim. I like that.
Nod Brim. Yeah. They do a couple other games too I've played before, but this is the one that I received for review and for free. And I believe right now is $15 on the Steam Game Store. And it takes about 4 hours to finish. But you're mostly going through the manor trying to figure out puzzles and avoid death by being scared to death. Like, your sanity can be affected by, like, let's say a picture falls off the wall and it scares you and you get a jump scare. So you got to be careful.
Is it scary? Right? Like, would you say this game is scary?
No, this is not a scary game. That's okay. Not the point of this game. It is a suspense game. It is not meant to be scary at all. It is meant to just be suspenseful. You're trying to solve puzzles. You know, I think that puzzle solving and horror suspense games go hand in hand, because it requires you to focus in all of your, you know, all of your energies into trying to figure out the puzzle, and you kind of forget. You know, you kind of forget that you're in something that's supposed to be dangerous situation, and then there's a jump scare, and like, what the?
Quick, by the way, quick before we get any more heat on this via emails, it's Sigil, not Sigil.
That's it.
Sigil. The reason I'm thinking of Sigil is the actual place, the location in Dungeons & Dragons lore, Sigil, which is where my character spent the last 3 months in my D&D campaign, and so it's all I've heard lately is Sigil. That is what that place is called.
Sigil.
Chat room is correct. It is Sigil. Sigil.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how many times I've had conversations with somebody where Sigil, where I had to say it out loud, came up. Never.
It doesn't come up a lot. It comes up.
Let's have a conversation and talk about sigils.
Yeah, it's fine. Look, it's one of those things where if you don't get it right, it's fine. But I understand it would be irritating to hear if you're really into that stuff. Right. Sigil. Sigil. There you go. All
right. Yeah, when I see the word, I know what it is. I know what it means. Pronouncing it, like I said, never comes up in conversation. Fastidious is right. It does come up in nerd conversations. Nerds. But anyway, where was I at?
I don't know. Where were you?
So there's a little bit of
this guy's weird involved. Looking up close. I don't like him.
Oh my God. Oh, this is so great. So this is the traitor, right? This is the best. Okay. I love the traitor. He scared the bejesus out of me. Now, I didn't get scared too much. Most of it was suspenseful. But when you come up against the traitor, he is so scary. You should turn the sound up. You should rewind it back to that part and turn the sound up and let people hear.
Let's hear it.
That freaky, creepy guy.
All right. So we're not there yet. Okay. Wait, why can't I hear it?
He's
no
a traitor.
This game has no volume.
You can trade products with him. You can trade different things that you collect, and you can trade them with him for more lamp oil.
This game has no audio, by the way. No sound. This is you.
It has to have audio. I uploaded it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm hearing zero audio, and I've got everything turned
off.
Really?
Yeah. What a jerk.
I mean, I wonder. Well, here, let me try something.
Did the YouTube?
Does this one work? Let me see if mine works. Yeah, mine works.
Okay, so maybe the YouTube upload didn't work.
Yeah, maybe. Or did you,
I don't know. Westmark Manor.
I don't know what you
I have enjoyed it. There's a couple of weird characters you interact with. Like I said, the traitor is really cool. There's also a leprechaun type character who stores your things for you. You just go and you can give him a lot of, like, the keys and stuff. You collect a lot of keys. Oh my gosh. there's so many chests, and all of them require different keys. And then you got special Roman numeral keys that have to that you have to combine in a certain way. That's what I was getting to with the alchemy. There's alchemy involved where you've got to combine certain elements together to resolve certain certain puzzles. So far as I've been very, it's suspenseful and the puzzles are challenging, and it has kept me engaged. I love the atmosphere of this game.
Yeah.
And I wish you could hear the sound. Unfortunately, my upload did not work apparently. So, but the sound is very important to the whole experience. And I've just really been enjoying this Westmark Manor. And like I said, $15 is about 5 hours. So set your expectations where they should be. And it is called Westmark Manor.
Nice. It looks jerky, herky jerky. Is it jerky now, to control?
Okay, so this released last week. Okay. They are aware of some of these glitchy problems. Another thing I like about this Nod Brim Interactive development team, they have been active in the Steam forums, and people who are having troubles, they've been addressing them. So far, so good. I like what they're doing, and they've in every little bug they've that people have caught so far, they seem to be addressing them. So I think that jerkiness will be resolved. I did have some trouble. I think it could have been my video card that wasn't rendering it properly.
Wow.
But I couldn't access all the settings, and that was a known bug because you couldn't adjust certain settings,
yeah.
And they were working on that. And I think they released a patch since I played. But like I said, it just came out the 18th of last week.
Apparently has an export sound bug as well, because there's no sound in this thing.
No, I think that was me, because I had to play in segments when I played. So I played like 15 minutes here and then 30 minutes there and then an hour and a half another time.
Yeah.
And so I tried to combine the videos, and maybe I did something that screwed that up. I don't know how I screwed it up, but I must have done something to screw it up.
Well,
that's on me.
No one blames you. Nobody does.
I blame me.
Okay, well, you shouldn't. Hey, check this out. I'm going to play a little music for you. Yeah, look at this.
Am I in a Western?
Well, it turns out you are. I got a game this week that I've been looking forward to for a couple of years now. It was supposed to originally be out in April. It got delayed, but it came out last Tuesday, so a week ago tomorrow.
Tuesday.
And it is called Desperados 3. You may be familiar with the Desperados series 1 and 2. Those are actually quite different than this, and it's also been ages since there was a Desperados game. This is from the team what did and made Shadow Tactics, or Shogun Shadow Tactics. Remember that deal?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that, except it's set in the Old West. And if you think that's a negative thing, it is absolutely not a negative thing that it's just like that, because I love Shadow Tactics. It's a lot like that in that it's... okay, so the bigger reference for a lot of gamers who maybe are... I guess you're all getting old now, but if you played in the 90s a series of games called... oh my gosh, my brain just went dead. What's it called? Commandos.
Commandos!
Those were games that were based around a bunch of dudes with certain abilities in World War II. So you'd have a guy who was really good at demolition. You had another guy who was really good at sniping. Some other guy was really good at sort of up-close combat. And you would go into these scenarios with different sets of teams, different combinations of who's with you or whatever, and you'd try to take out these Nazis and do whatever the mission level was and all of that. It's not a turn-based strategy game. It's more like real-time, and it's also more of a stealth game than anything. You do a lot of sneaking around to try not to be seen by the bad guys, and this game is one of those. And like Shadow Tactics, it's using a very similar engine. Graphically, it looks very nice. It has you doing stuff like sneak around and find Bad Bart and steal the money back that he stole from those people, and then while you're there, take out the
Bad
sheriff.
Bad Bart!
Or whatever.
I like Bad Bart.
It's all done in this three-quarter view, like overhead view. Different scenarios. The very first one you do after the tutorial is you fight alongside a big train robbery. And it's a great big mission. It's crazy how big that mission is. But you've got stuff like, hey, these guys walk back and forth, and they have a certain vision cone. And if they see you in their vision cone, you're going to get all Metal Gear Solided and killed.
That's very Shadow Tactics.
Yeah,
right?
Very much. Yeah. It's really that same stuff. One nice thing this has that Shadow Tactics didn't that I remember, and I could be wrong on this, so someone may correct me, but Shadow Tactics did not have a speed up button. So if you if you're trying to just learn what somebody's patrol is, this lets you hold down X and just do that faster, so you're not waiting forever for that guy to walk around.
I like that.
Yeah, it's cool. And lots of environmental stuff, like, oh, there's a giant boulder I can push down and kill four of these dudes and get like a, you know, big achievement for that.
What's the achievement for rolling a boulder over people?
I forget the name of it, but there really was one. There was one.
That is a bad BART. That's what that is.
That is a very bad BART. There's, you know, the stuff like the one main cowboy can throw a pebble and get the attention of a bad guy, and that bad guy will try to see where that noise came from and turn his gaze that way. Then another dude has a big trap that if somebody steps in it, they're dead. One guy's got a satchel that just distracts people and they come up and want to see what's inside and it explodes in their face.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. Is that how the satchel works? It's like, what you got in that satchel?
Yeah, basically, yeah. They walk up. Well, you don't stand there with it. You leave it out in the dirt, and they get curious. They're like, what's in the satchel? And they'll walk up and they'll look inside.
That's like the worst way to die in the Old West. It's like, what's in the satchel? A bag of snakes!
He died with his face in a satchel. It's exactly right. Anyway, it is one of my favorite settings. It's one of my favorite kinds of games. I love this developer. I love Shadow Tactics. I bought it twice and played it twice.
And who's the developer again?
I'll pull it up. I have it right here. Their name is, okay, published by THQ Nordic. So it's one of those that THQ they picked up. Nordic. But it's Mimi Games. M-I-M-I-M-I Games.
So, Mimi-Me.
Mimi-Me.
Mimi-Me. Mimi-Me.
It's kind of a dumb name. But anyway, critically received quite well. It's doing very well in the reviews right now. It deserves it. It is great. It's great. It's great. It's great. I don't have anything to complain about.
Two games today, and both of those games I am very excited about playing. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going to find the time.
Well, I streamed this one a bunch. And it's fun for streaming because your audience can help you. Like, if you're really stumped, and there are times, dude, where I'm like, how am I going to get into this saloon? Like, there's no way I'm getting in there with all these dudes around. And then we find a way. Also, there's not just one way to do anything. There's like 100 ways to do everything. Like, there's never there's no one path to take. There may be some path that's like critical and it would be perfect if you did it that way. But, you know, you don't always see that in your head. And I like that. I like this thing where the world's my puzzle.
We don't talk about that much, but that is one of the greatest things that if you're not a streamer, but you are a gamer, one of the greatest things is having a community that can kind of help you along. And when I'm playing, I always say we did it because a lot of times I would have been given up on those games and said, nope.
Yep.
I'm quitting.
Depends on the game, but in this particular case, it's fun to have people.
I didn't stream anything from Westmark Manor because it was just such an intimate game that I felt like I just kind of felt like that was something I want to play on my own. I kind of played it, kicked back, relaxed.
You were nude. Dark. You were nude the whole time.
I was nude. Yeah. Like I said, it was a suspense game, and I wanted to feel that suspense. I wanted to feel, I wanted to be dark in the room and I wanted to be quiet and just turn up my headphones. Fastidia says smoke some weed.
Get some weed. Chilled
and lay back.
Not that it's legal in South Carolina and not that Brian partakes. We're not saying he does. The point is, it's cool. It's very cool. And I am all giddy
about it.
How
much is this game? Are they giving it away? How much is this game?
Nope, $49, worth every penny.
Good Lord, that's a real price.
Yeah, it's a real game, turns out. It's a big, big, real game that's worth that money. It's worth it. For me, it's a AAA experience. It's not necessarily a AAA game.
Oh, nice. Yeah, if you had a guess, how long?
To beat it? Oh, I have no idea. At my rate, I'm going to be forever.
Months.
Yeah, probably, because I'm slow with it. And I like being slow with it. I like this methodic pace this game has.
Right.
So for me, I actually prefer that, and I don't want to rip through any of it. I want to savor it and beat every level the way I want to beat it and feel good about it and all that.
Do you sing Desperado every time before you get to play it?
Desperado.
Desperado.
Why don't you spend your $49.99? That's the song I like to sing. Anyway, it's cool. The characters are good. The story's good. The voiceover's really good. The voice acting's great.
Still important.
And also sort of dumb in a great way. Like the bad guys are always like, man, I could sure go for some more drinking. What do you think there, Wild Bill? Like a lot of that. And I love that.
But you need that for atmosphere. How else are you supposed to know that you're playing a Western if you don't have all those spaghetti Western tropes?
Yeah, it's tropey as hell, and it's exactly what I wanted. So I cannot say enough about either of my choices today. And I highly recommend Desperados 3, available now on Steam, Epic, and I think consoles got it all the same day.
Console, Switch included?
No Switch, no. I think this thing's probably a little beefy for it, is my guess.
That and the fact is, anytime, you know, I like to play, you know how I like to play my Twitch, Switch. Yeah. I like to play it like in the bed, you know, so I'd like to take mine with me.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty small screen to be looking at all that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's, I mean, I think they could probably make it work, and I would probably buy it again because I like it that much. But,
well, I didn't think Civ 6 would work on a Switch.
No, it totally does.
It actually does.
Yeah, isn't it weird how good that game is on the Switch? I can't understand how they pulled that off. It's nuts to me.
Did a good job.
Still not as good. I wish it was Old World because that game's better. All right, Brian.
Oh, that's stupid.
Listen to here. I know. Everyone's making fun of the name. You, John, everybody. Everyone gives me shit for that thing. All right. We're now going to talk about Satisfactory, which I also played a bunch of. It's now on Steam. It was previously just on Epic. We're seeing a lot of that this week. A lot of Epic Early Access stuff finally coming to Steam.
Yes, they promised us it would, and the time is here, right?
Yep.
So Satisfactory's been in Early Access for a while, and it continues to be in Early Access, but it's a very robust Early Access. What is the game really all about? Not sure.
3D Factorio. It's 3D Factorio. That's what it is.
It is, but you know, it's kind of like, what's the point? I mean, you're building factories and stuff, but what's the end game?
Building a factory. Building a factory.
Right. I mean, you're not trying to get KK to come to your island.
No.
Right? You know, it's not Animal Crossing.
No. No. I'm glad he doesn't have 3 Ks in his name, by the way. That would be bad.
Right. That would have been very bad.
Yeah, I think about
even
that.
Even 2 Ks is kind of, I have to slow it down to make sure I get it right.
Even 2 Ks is no good.
2Ks is no good. So this is from Coffee Stain Studios. It is Satisfactory, and it was Satisfactory. I enjoyed it a lot. I only played on a private server by myself, and because
I haven't played with anyone else yet either.
Yeah. The training is quite intense. You have to learn how to scan for items. You've played No Man's Sky. If you played No Man's Sky, you kind of know what you're in for in Satisfactory, except you're more base building than anything, right?
Yeah, it's about base building, extracting minerals, maximizing your production, then turning those into things that you can then build better, cooler things with. There are like pneumatic tube transportation things you can build all over the place. There's a train. There's you can launch all kinds of weird shit. Like there's a nuclear upgrade system that gives you nuclear power and not regular.
It's a resource collection game, and you start out the gimmick here. I mean, anybody can play a resource collector, right? There's plenty of those out there. But the where this steps it up is the actual automation of once you find the resources, the automation of it's all about automation.
You build a ton of conveyor belts, and then those conveyor belts are carrying stuff from automated extractor units that are like pulling ore out of the ground, and then those get dumped into a machine that like separates them from the stone from the iron, and then the iron gets shoveled off over here where it makes iron ingots, and then those ingots are refining and whatever.
You gotta make some rods and some plates, and then you gotta make copper stuff, and then
a lot of that stuff you make early with your hands, and then later the idea is you automate all of it. But yeah, end game wise, it's difficult to say. Like, I think it's just like, you know, Minecraft or anything else. It's like, how big can I make this shit? How awesome can my planet be?
Yeah, and the point is, it's ever increasing. So you start out, like I said, I played single player on my own private server. And then as you grow, you can start inviting other people over to kind of see your factory, and they can play along. And so that's really the end game, is to be more social. It's basically to be isolated, in my opinion. Learn, build, become an expert at it, and then invite your friends over. And And hey, take a look at my stupid factory. Stupid factory is so cool. Look at it. It does tubey things. There's tubes everywhere.
Is this you streaming this, by the way? Is this
you? Absolutely, it's me. So if you're complaining about somebody going slow, that's me.
I was going to say, really. Because
you know why? I was on my own private server, and I did what I want.
You do what I want. Like,
yeah. I don't have to answer to nobody.
I got pretty far in this game. I don't know if they're doing the same thing as Clay is with, like, hey, if you had it on Epic, you can also have it on Steam. You just have it. But all I know is when I paid for it on Epic and played it over there for a whole bunch. And then when it came to Steam, I just got a code in the mail. It just said, hey.
Interesting.
Come on back. We're giving here it is on Steam. And I don't know why I got that, but I was happy.
Coffee
to get
Stain
it.
Studio was nice enough to send me a product for review. So this was a product I received for free to review.
Yeah.
And I have enjoyed it. And I look forward to going back to it. It very much scratches that itch of No Man's Sky. But I'll tell you, in No Man's Sky, it is such a complicated endeavor that if you stop for a week and come back to No Man's Sky, you'll be totally lost. You're like, what in the world was I doing? But this, it's more like Minecraft, where you're like, you can leave for a week and you can come back. And you're like, okay, this is where I was at in my endeavors.
It's a little more straightforward, what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, so it's a lot more straightforward. It's kind of a linear path. There's not necessarily a linear path, but you can kind of go to the end of what you've done and go, okay, I just need to go on from here. You are on alien planets. While you're playing this game. And you do encounter creatures of different abilities. Some of them are friendly, some not so friendly. Most of the ones not friendly, the ones who are protecting the resources. And you have to use your little taser, which you can, which I like walk around and use that. You any good with that taser gun?
Yeah, I like that. I do okay against some of those creatures with the taser.
Yeah.
I like watching you walk around this rock like it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
Well, the reason why I'm walking around this rock is you'll notice there was kind of a glitch. So I didn't understand when I was collecting copper that when I collected it, I could collect it from the base as well.
Yeah.
I thought you could only collect it from, these are the globies. This is what Dice Tomato calls globies.
Globies.
Because they're like little bees that are glowing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're actually like flying something.
They're like flying lightning bugs or something.
They're a lot of these creatures are like, they seem randomly generated. I don't know if later on there are going to be more variety, but right now it's pretty much kind of the same creatures in a lot of places I was encountering. I'm hoping they'll be.
Oh, I see. You didn't know the ground here was more iron if you just poked at it. I get it.
Exactly. Okay. When I was playing, I thought that the formation above it was the place that you once you busted the rock that it was depleted. I didn't realize you could actually break into the base.
Oh yeah, big time
of the rock.
Except in that case, what you want to do, you want to get that big chunk on top, the growth manually early in the game, and then later you're plunking down an extractor on top of it, and it's just sucking it out for you. Yeah.
And that's where I was at this point, like I said. And so that's the reason why I couldn't understand why I was like walking around. It's like, it was still showing me. I'm like, no, it's not. There's nothing here. I used my scanner and I've already collected the copper. Why won't you leave me alone? Yeah. And that's the reason why I was walking around that big rock going, what's going on?
I
don't get
it. I like this big rock that I done found.
Big rock. Look at it.
Look at this rock.
I had a ground bird. It was like a parrot. He kept hanging around my little camp there. I was like, get away.
Did you kill it?
I'm trying to do my thing. No, I tried to. I shocked him, but he kept running away.
Should have killed it and eaten him.
Can you kill him and eat him? I don't believe that.
I don't think you can. You can eat berries and whatever those nuts are.
Yeah, these big giant nut berries.
Yeah.
Nut berries?
Yeah, nut berries.
Satisfactory. It was very satisfactory. You can pick it up. Currently, I believe, I've seen on sale between $26.99 and $29.99. $29.99. It's 10% off right now on Steam. That's the place to get it apparently right now. So
it is a thing.
I enjoyed it. Over 60 plus hours in the standard campaign. So you're getting a lot of bang for the buck here.
Currently enjoying an overwhelmingly positive review on Steam. Yeah.
Yes.
It was hard to tell on Epic because Epic doesn't really have a good review system, but Steam does. So
I think was it free at one point in time on the Epic Game Store?
I don't think so. Not that I know of. If it is, I'd be pissed because I bought it.
Maybe I've purchased it and they also sent me one for Steam. I can't remember because I have it. I seem like it's in my Epic.
Well, that's what I did. I bought it over there and then they sent me one.
Right.
So
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe so.
Quick mention, speaking of Steam, Titanfall 2 from our friends at EA Electronic Arts. That's a Respawn game that was very good. It came out in what? We're now like 2-3 years past when it came out. But it is one of the greatest first-person shooter campaigns I ever freaking played. Oh. It's so good. I just loved it. Now those guys are busy doing Apex Legends, which is supposed to be in the same universe. I don't know if you knew that, but Titanfall.
I did know that because I had purchased Titanfall and I played it for a minute, and then Apex Legends came out and I started playing that, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is in the same universe. Well,
good news. Titanfall 2 now on Steam. It's no longer just an Origin exclusive if you're on PC. You could get it on consoles before.
I have it on PS4.
It is an amazing game. And I love it. And it's $10 right now. So buy it.
Oh, that's crazy.
How stupid are you if you don't buy it for $10?
That's right. We're just going to shave. What are we? Wait, go back to the Griflands? We're trying to embarrass people into to winning our, winning our conversation.
Why? Yeah, no kidding. Well, think about it. For $22, you've got Griflands and you've got Titanfall 2, one of the finest FPSs ever made. It is so good. And $10 is dumb cheap. And it's on sale for only a limited time. It's not like forever going to be that. So go do some sidewall running, jetpack using, giant robot piloting badassery with an amazing single-player story and really good multiplayer that still holds up. Like, I can't wait to dive into this again. I'm going to replay it.
Still looks so good. Still, I got it on my PS4 Pro, and it runs amazing there.
Yes. Yeah, it's a beautiful game. It's a hell of a thing.
Beautiful game.
All right. So, there's this robot. Oh, go get in the robot.
Oh, there's a robot. There's a robot.
Get in the robot! And I love how the robots, the Titans, they reach out with their hand and they pick you up and then stick you in their chest with their hand.
It's like I'm eating you. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. You're riding along, buddy. Get in my belly.
So cool. Get in my belly. All right. Also, Brian, you mentioned you finished The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. How'd that go?
I had two games I finished this week. I don't always get to finish games, and it was very satisfactory. To finish two games, I finally, after about 3 months worth of every Thursday playing The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, first playthrough I've ever had of any Zelda game, and I went from beginning to end, and we've defeated Ganon. We finally did it. I did it with the help of the chat room who was watching, and mostly Dice Tomato, a.k.a. Michael, who guided me through the last month, I think, worth of sessions, and it really got much better when he come on board.
That game's great.
Help me do that.
It's a classic.
It was amazing.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. I immediately wanted to play more, and so I already had is it Link's Awakening?
Yeah. No, Link's Awakening is that is this one. Link's Awakening.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I we're watching. Oh, you're watching. No, you're watching.
This is Link's Awakening.
A Link to the Past.
Is it? Yeah, well, you're right. This is Link to the Past. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This
I should know. I played it for 3 months.
Yeah, you. you're right. It's not the same.
I have nightmares about that. So, I did that. And also finished up, thanks to Kit London, who after watching me play, watching me play Deliver Us the Moon, which I talked about a few weeks ago. I went back and finished it on Kit London's advice that it was a great ending. And it was.
Mm.
It was an amazing ending. It was emotional. And it was just, that game is worth playing all the way through. If you did pick up Deliver Us the Moon, play it all the way through. It's fantastic.
Deliver Us the Moon.
Deliver Us the Moon.
Now this.
It's a me, Mario.
Guess my game time. We play clips. We try to figure out what game it is. I'm going to play mine first. Here's my hint. This came out early 2000s on a brand new console. And if you don't get this, I'll be shocked. Here it is.
Burn is clean. All systems normal. We're in the pipe. Touchdown in 2 minutes.
Foster, I need that damage report now. Okay, Captain, I have bad news and worse news.
Infantry squad inbound.
Infantry? Who would want to fight a mech on foot? Looks like your lucky day, Tiger.
Any guesses?
Well, it sounds like he's talking about mechs and stuff. Is that not Mech Assault from Xbox?
That is a correct answer, sir. Mech Assault from Xbox. Well done.
Yes, I love that game, partially because I didn't buy it to play it.
I know. It was,
I bought it to say to soft mod.
Yeah, it was the hack CD everybody bought to make it so they could soft mod their Xbox and turn it into a media center.
And then I played it. Yeah. And I thought, wow, this game is fun.
Mech Assault is an amazing game. I never played the sequel. Right. There was a sequel on the Xbox original as well, and I never played it. I'm sure it was fine. But I played and loved Mech Assault. I didn't know at the time. I learned later, but I didn't know at the time it was part of the Mech Warrior / BattleTech universe. I had no idea it was all connected to that. I thought it was just like some little ripoff.
I didn't
mech
either
game.
Until I. Right, I was like halfway through it before I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
some things are starting to fall into place here.
Yeah, it's very good. I really really like it, and I wish they would make a proper sequel to it. It's just the kind of action oriented mech game I would love to play right now. I know Mech Warrior 5 is free on
Game Pass,
and it's over there just kind of waiting for me to play it more. But Mech Assault was just so accessible, but also just, I don't know, it was great. It was just great. It looks like shit now, but man, a remake of Mech Assault, I would pay for that. I'd pay money for a remake.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I am really jonesing for a mech game. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a few weeks ago. I don't know.
Yeah,
where is it at?
I love it. Well, there's a couple of choices.
I would even take another Transformers game.
Those are good too.
War for Cybertron.
Yeah. Those are good.
Oh, the War for Cybertron was amazing.
So Mech Warrior 5 is probably all right. I haven't played it yet. That's new. Okay. You also got your BattleTech, the turn-based strategy BattleTech game, which is very good. I love that game. So there are mech games to play. They just aren't, super quick pickup, accessible action-y ones right now. And that's too bad because I think the world could use some.
Somebody
slightly
is working
less,
on one right now because I mean it's a no-brainer.
Just some slightly now, less complicated stuff.
I'm playing a pretty cool game from the co-creator of Halo. It just came out.
Halo.
It's not called Disinfected.
Disintegrated.
Disintegrated. Disintegrated.
Yeah, I have
that's
that.
It.
I have
that's
that
it.
Too.
You have that too? Yeah. I have that. And that is this just so far. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
It is. Some people are said it's a little bit slow, but I love the story.
Really,
I loved it.
I didn't know it had single player. I thought it was all multiplayer. That thing.
No. Well, the part I've played has been single player campaign part. Yeah.
Shows what I know. I'll tell you what you know. I'll tell you what I miss. Hawken. That's what I miss. I liked Hawken. Remember Hawken?
Oh, Hawken was so good.
Hawken was rad. I think it's still
why
on
the
consoles.
Let's just play some Hawken. We've done that before.
Hawken's, they don't have the PC anymore. It's done. They quit supporting it. It's off.
Screw them. We're going to find a way.
F those chuckleheads.
Then we're going to go play some. We're going to play some City of Heroes after that.
Here, it says it right here. Yeah, that's about the era. Hold on. Let me look this up. All right. So Hawken came out in 2012 originally on the PC. Came out in 2016 on the Xbox One and PlayStation. And now that's the only place you can get it. It doesn't play on PC anymore. And that's lame because that game was cool. And you were giant mechs and you've jumped around. It was, it was an FPS. It was basically a multiplayer shooter, but it was cool. Boo.
It really is.
Boo.
That's the problem with dedicated servers for games.
Boo.
Yeah.
Bums me out. Oh, they're going to make a movie? Shut up. Oh, in 2011, they were making a movie. That never happened. All right.
Any day now.
Things didn't work out for them. All right. I'm going to play your clip now. Let's see if I can figure out what it is. Okay? So here goes Brian's clip.
Get ready.
Sounds like a fighting game.
It's sort of 1987. You're in the arcade.
87.
This eventually came to the Sega. Wasn't nearly as good.
This sounds so familiar.
Yeah, I mean, it is so good. You're playing an American F-14 Tomcat fighter jet.
Oh, it's not Space Harrier. The plane one. Ugh.
Afterburner. I used to pump quarters in this game like it was going out of style. Just something so fun.
Did you have the one that was like the? Do you have the one with the roll cage style thing that you could sit in and the whole thing would move?
I had played one before, but the one we had local was just the stand up.
Yeah, that's.
But it did have the yoke stick.
That game's great, man.
Yeah, nothing and it was also they released. Was it either two or I think they released part two on the Sega Genesis, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yes. Was it?
Because I remember having, let's see, or did that come out second in the same year? Oh, Afterburner 2 came out that same year, actually, at the arcade.
Yeah.
Sega, released by the Sega, and so both of them were Sega. Huh.
Well, bottom line is, I could go for some that. I could play Space Harrier 2. Not Space
Let's
Harrier
play
2.
Both of them.
Space Harrier 2 is not as good as 1, but also is what I meant. Space Harrier also.
As okay. well.
Yeah, good job on that. All right, check this out, you guys. We got a quick question from a listener before we shut it all down today. This came
shut
to us
her
at
down.
boopshow@gmail.com. It's somebody named Potato Nuts. Potato Nuts. Do you think that's their real name or they made that up? What do you think there?
I don't know, but I love it. You ever had a potato with nuts on it?
Never had a potato with nuts on it. Nope, not once.
You know, they got the eyes that kind of grow on them.
That's true. Could you have a baked potato with like, you could just sprinkle like crushed peanuts in there, right? That'd be okay.
That would be, you couldn't, would you do that? Sure. That would be evil.
No, it'd be all right, I think. You'd have to have other stuff.
I'm pretty sure if you crushed up peanuts in a potato, you'd probably choke. I'm pretty sure you'd choke and die.
Little tiny peanuts. I almost said peanuts.
Yeah, because you'd be eating the potato thinking, oh, this is one of those, you know, those things I could just swallow.
Sure.
And then,
sure. Yeah. Then I would. Then who's the dummy? Me. That's yeah. who. Anyway.
Potato nuts.
He says this, or he or she. I don't know. Could be a girl. Says, what older game would you guys really that you guys could really go for a remake of right now? I'm just gonna do the easy thing and say. Freaking Mech Assault. Make it again.
Yeah.
New Mech Assault remake. Not a re-res, not a up-res, not a better texture thing on an ugly game. Like a real new version of that game, but just done from the ground up. Like the way they did Final Fantasy. Just give me a new effing thing.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
What do you want?
That's a pretty darn good pick. And all I can think of is I want Afterburner to have a remake, but I'm like, I know I would be bored within 5 minutes.
Well, you could there's a spiritual successor, you know, it's those Namco games. What are they called? I have one. 7.
Right.
What's it called? Ace Combat 7. That's it.
Yes, yeah. I actually did play Ace Combat. You're actually right. You know what?
Those games are that totally really that thing, except in between it has that really stupid anime story, but the actual gameplay is amazing.
That's true. That's true. I did play Ace Combat for a minute.
Yeah, I have 7.
I forgot about that.
Kind of in the mood for it now that you're talking about it. I don't know. I like just dumb missions, you know? Like,
yeah, but I'm with you. I think a resounding answer is some kind of Mech Assault.
Just a mech game, man. We want mech games. More mech games. Games with
More
giant
mech,
mechs.
Please.
Little tiny dudes, big giant mechs. Sign me up. Okay. That's going to do it. Thank you for the email again. That is boopshow@gmail.com. We'd be happy to read your emails right here on the show. If you have any thoughts about what we talked about or games you'd like to recommend or whatever, we're open to talk about whatever. So send it, boopshow@gmail.com. You can also go to the frogpants.com/boop website. And on there, there's a quick little form you can use as well to send us a message. So feel free either way. You can also find us on Twitter @boopshow. And Brian, before we leave the people, a quick note. Next week, I will be giving away to some lucky winner on the show.
Some
winner on the show next week, live on the air, will win 1,000 video games. Yeah, you
what?
Heard me.
So we're doing it.
You heard me. 1,000 games to one person. They're going to win all 1,000 games. They're real
DRM,
games.
DRM. Like, right.
DRM free games. Tons of them. 1,000. You'll never play that many. It's insane. So I will give away that pile of 1,000 games next week, courtesy of... Hold on.
Itch.io. Oh, the person who donated it.
Because this was all for a good cause. People paid for this, and they want us to give it away on the show, and now I can't find the damn
But they're all the games are on itch.io, and that's where developers all donated video games to this worthy cause. Yeah. And you will win 1,000 games DRM free that you can access and download from itch.io.
Can't find it. Gosh dang it, I can't find it. But anyway, wherever it is, I have it. 1,000 games. That's next week here on The Boop Show. So tune in next week live if you want to get it.
You know what would be great? What? You know what would be a great name for a video game?
What would that be?
1,000 games. That should be the name of it.
1,000 games.
It'd be one. Just be one game, but it'd be called 1,000 games. And so you'd be like, I just bought 1,000 games. Like,
no, you should do it. The podcast should be called 1,000 games. You do one episode per game for 1,000 episodes.
Well, that's perfect.
Over the next three.
Let's do that.
If it's only one a week, though, you're going to be doing this for years and years and years. 10 years plus years. No way. I'm sorry. FilmSack's already been around it for 10 years. We're only at like five, almost 600.
Yeah.
We'd need 20 years to do it. That seems like a bad idea. All right. Anyway. That does.
So 10 years is 520 episodes if you do them every week.
You're not
wrong. That's how weeks work.
You're not wrong. Weeks do work that way. Anyway, thank you all for listening, for watching, for being here. Brian, any final words of wisdom before we go?
Has anybody seen my copy of Afterburner?
Oh my gosh, no, it's probably burning. It's afterburning. Hey, that's it, everybody. I'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.